Hey everybody, welcome back to Freeze Frame episode 66, the show where we stop and take a moment to discuss all the heavily talked about news of the week having to do with movies, TV, streaming, and pop culture. I am your host as always, Ryder Maldonado, today joined by Vincent DeSantis, the Vibe King himself.
Ryder, it's been a hell of a morning.
I know. It's been
Let me tell you.
How's it been?
I'm about to hop in the shower. Mm-hmm. My nose starts gushing blood, just draining blood. All right, I get out of the shower, and there's a group FaceTime call going because James got into NYU, you know, doing the whole thing. I hope I'm allowed to like spill that news. I'm not really actually 100% sure.
Oh, yeah, no, okay. everybody send your love. Send your love to James. Right. Tell him congrats.
For grad school, right? And so I'm on that FaceTime call, and I go to put my phone down for a second, slips out of my hand, hits the ground, and just, boom, LED lights up the side of the screen. It sucks so much booty cheeks, but it is what it is. We're here talking about movies for a little while to get my mind off things, so this
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, yeah, well, everybody send the positive energy. Send the positive vibes. He needs them, you know. But in the meantime, we want to thank you, everybody, for listening at home, for watching. We got a big week coming up, ladies and gents. Summer Games Fest is coming, so stay tuned. Trailer reactions, breakdowns, it's all going to be hitting our channel very soon. And so stay tuned. You can check out our Instagram and our Twitter for all the breakdowns, all the updates, kind of new photos, new screenshots and trailers. And TikTok for all the kind of short updates if you don't have that much time. You can check it out there. Yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah, oh, and we also have, of course, every week now we're doing Obi-Wan recaps. Those are pretty fun. Something new we're trying out. It's a new little series, a little video.
I've been liking doing them.
Good times for sure. So check that out. And let's go ahead. Oh, you know what? I forgot a quote of the week, but that's okay. Let's go ahead and recap from last week, ladies and gents. It was kind of an easy one. Kind of, I don't know. I thought it was like, well, if you know, you know. If you don't. But here it is, quote of the week. As of last week, you know, fitting the theme, this is where the fun begins. Which, it's Anakin from, you know, Star Wars Episode 3, the opening. But I don't know. I was like... I mean, this very obscure quote.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a great quote.
I'll try better for next time, but stay tuned. Hopefully we'll get one going at the end. If not, stay tuned. But okay, let's get into it. Vinny, lots of stuff is going on. Lots of shows and movies. What have you been watching? What have you been catching up on?
I've been watching Stranger Things.
Okay. Good.
To catch up on that, I have six episodes into the seven that are out right now of the latest season. I'm really liking it. Started off like, okay, it's another season of Stranger Things. Like, all right. And then like three episodes and I was like, okay, like it's fine. Like I'm enjoying it, but I'm like, okay, I don't know if I love the four different storylines that are going. Like I could care less about Hopper's storyline. I could care less about like different things that are happening. Like Jonathan and Nancy's relationship. Like it's so like, I don't know. It's just there to be there.
Yeah.
Like all I want to see is like the kids like do their thing.
Yeah.
And like Steve Harrington and Dustin, like give me that and I'm fine. But as the show goes on, I feel like it's building to something big and it makes sense that everybody's away from each other except for the Hopper storyline, which still feels like it's just in there to be in there, but it's getting interesting. I'll tell you that much. I don't want to spoil what's going on, but like that section took five episodes to get interesting to me, but it's there. And then what else have I been watching? Honestly, it's been weak for me for movies. I have not been watching a lot of movies recently, which is booty cheeks, unfortunately. But Jurassic World comes out this week.
Oh, yeah,
so
Dominion.
I'm excited to see that. Unfortunately, it has worse reviews than the second movie, which I did not like.
No. Are you serious? Embargo lifted already?
Yeah. Embargo's already lifted on the early screeners. I think on Letterboxd, it was rocking. The second one's rocking like a 2.6. This one's rocking like a 2.4 off the bat.
Oh, out of five?
Yeah.
Wow. That's sad. I mean, the hype seems like it's not even, like, it doesn't seem like there's not much hype for it at all.
Dude, no one's talking about it. Warriors game last night.
Huh?
They ran a trailer. It wasn't even a trailer. It was like a scene, dude. Like, I'm like, what are we watching right now? Like a dinosaur that goes under a frozen lake and. Okay. This might be a hot take. I don't think Chris Pratt's good in this movie. Like, his character and him and Claire, I think, is the other
Bryce Dallas Howard. Dude, that's been the general consensus, though. Yeah, like...
Yeah, I don't think they're very good.
They're a little bland for the franchise. And they're so much better in other stuff, right? She's an amazing actress,
right,
of course.
Right, they both are.
And he has so much charisma in Marvel and, like, in other shows, of course. But it's like Jurassic World is, like, they seem so, like, bland boy-girl.
I'll tell you what. I love Jeff Goldblum. And he's going to be in this movie. And I love dinosaurs. So I'm going to watch this movie. And you know what? I like Chris Pratt. I like Bryce Dallas Howard. You know what I mean? Oh, no, not Bryce Dallas Howard. This is it is Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, this she's there. She's Claire. She's in this.
Okay, I always
think of Laura Dern.
No, huh? Laura Dern. I get Bryce Howard and someone else.
Another actress.
But never mind.
Emma Stone. Yeah, no, I don't know.
No, not Emma Stone. Damn, I can't even remember now. But yeah, I'm gonna be watching this week. I'll probably go to the theater.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, maybe we'll think about doing a review or something on it. But yeah. So what else has been going on? Oh yeah, so I started a second run of Severance.
A second run? You're watching it again?
Yeah, because I'm watching it with my mom, and she's it's pretty good. It's a great show, man. Love the show. Been watching The Boys. I watched the first three episodes. They were shocking. They were just mind blowing. I mean, I mean, it's just crazy stuff. Stuff that like I don't even know how it got aired. Or how the people at Amazon were like, yeah, let's put this on. Let's put this up on TV. Sure.
Yeah. They push the limit every time. And I feel like in the second season, they really push that bar. And so I can't even imagine how they're going to push it this season. Because the one thing the shock value of mm-hmm. The Boys is great. It keeps me watching more and stuff like that. But sometimes it feels like it's just shock value. That was my biggest problem with the second season was like, okay, like, why did they do this? Like, I don't think it moves anything, but I'm assuming they are doing stuff that moves the plot forward. But
it does feel obvious in that first episode that it is just shock to shock, but the rest, episodes 2 and 3 is just kind of just like a good, know, like moving the story along. There is some shock, but it's also like, okay, it makes a little more sense to why it's there. Homelander, though, I've been seeing people talking about Anthony Starr as Homelander as one of the best comic book castings ever, and I agree. It's like
he's pretty damn good. I will say
he gets so maniacal and so like devious in this season. It seems like, man, he's such a good actor because he's so evil. He seems like such an evil guy, and like I don't know. This isn't really a spoiler. This is something so minor about.
Oh, don't tell me.
It's something when he's blind. Oh God. Okay, you know what?
Okay, what is this?
Okay, it's about Martin Luther King. This just to show you, like, it's like, you're nuts, dude. This guy is crazy, and you know, to talk like that, it's just crazy. But yeah, I won't get too crazy into it, but just let that be like a palette for that. And then Stranger Things, Stranger Things was great.
All right,
I'm looking forward to when we can talk Stranger Things at the end, but that's it.
Yeah, I'll finish the thing tonight. But you guys, Yacoub was talking about this last week on the podcast too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It makes what they should do in this. What they should do. Is release the second to last episode like next week as a surprise or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the final episode, they should release it in theaters, a 2-night IMAX event. You can see it one or two nights. They would make so much money. I would love to go see this in a theater with fans that have been watching it since the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like that would be a great theater experience. So much fun. Netflix already put some of their movies in theaters like before they do it. And this is movie length. Like they're, two hours and 40 minutes or
movie
something.
Movie quality. It's like a freaking movie, you know? Like a budget movie.
I would love to go see that. I don't know. Someone put me on the phone with Netflix. Let's get this baby rolling, okay?
Let's get it going, man. We'll do the Strictly Casual event, the Stranger Things event, you know?
Let's do it. Let's host. Let's host an IMAX event.
You know what I'm talking
about? Stranger Things season 4 finale.
That'd be cool.
I'm down.
Like, you know, those soups events, you know? Marvel.
Exactly.
We could do one of those for...
This is a...
Yeah, Stranger Things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, moving on. Here's our first topic. You got it. It's all you.
Yeah, let me talk about this a little bit. This is the state of movie theaters conversation that is ongoing right now, right? And so I just want to hear your thoughts on this. This comes from IndieWire, and they say, as Top Gun Maverick soars, total box office is still lagging, still big time lagging in this post-pandemic era. Its performance deserves all the accolades, but without the misleading reporting, Maverick will likely be Cruise's biggest hit, which is awesome. Good for him. And among Paramount's top 10 performers ever, like to release in cinemas. It's crazy. Another factor in its favor, unlike most big films in the summer release, Maverick lacked competition among holdovers or openings. So it released pretty much by itself, like a new weekend, new movie, that kind of thing. Nothing else out to really, stifle it down. In the meantime, it's feast or famine. Maverick made up nearly 75% of the weekend's business, and that's the big problem for theaters. So if you think about it, let's say Maverick didn't exist, they'd be making only 25%
of what, or 75% less of that.
They would make 75% less, yes. It's prime summer playtime right now. The same weekend in 2019 grossed $174 million. With this year's only being 67% as much as 2019. Not only is that total much lower, but it's an entirely different marketing composition. In 2019, the top 10 saw two films gross over 40 million, three over 25 million, four over 18, five over 11. And this year, we only have Maverick, and only one movie has made over $10 million. So this is saying, let me break this down.
Yeah.
This is saying that in 2019, there were 10 films in the summer that grossed over $40 million opening weekend.
Oh, this is in its prime. And now you're seeing this was only over $10 million. That's crazy. And so here's the crazy thing. It's shocking to me, but also, you know, you got to respect it. When I was sitting down to see Top Gun, a whole group comes up and they meet up with people. They're like, hey, we haven't been in the theaters in years. This is the first one. Yeah. And I'm like, this is their first one. This is their first film.
Yeah.
So there are still people like not going, like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's not going to be 2019 prime for, man, no. 5-10 years.
Another interesting thing that was in this article was that the average age of a moviegoer to this movie is above 35 years old. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
It's all people watching the first movie. Young people didn't necessarily hit.
That's weird. That's weird. Maybe after the fact because of TikTok and social media, but...
Sure, yeah,
he had a strong social media presence. I guess it's just more like, the appeal was easily for the older, you know, middle generation. I mean...
The article wraps up saying this will improve next weekend, basically the box office, because it's going to improve over the summer with more releases, specifically because we're going to have two blockbusters out next week. We'll have
Jurassic World
and Top Gun out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, double. Cool.
Those will be double, and those will draw audiences of all ages, you know?
Good crowd.
Jurassic World, you have the people that love Jurassic Park, plus you have kids that love dinosaurs. I mean, it's like anybody's going to go see this movie. It's not really limited.
It'll be huge. The last one, the finale in the franchise, which it's sad because I feel like a finale usually, like, it builds up to this, but it feels like it's only been kind of going kind of hype a little down.
Yeah.
A little bit. Pretty interesting. But lots of stuff coming.
They're trying to push it.
Yeah. You know what I saw? Not to derail real quick about TV shows and scheduling. You know what's happening this Wednesday? Miss Marvel. Can you believe that? Miss Marvel was happening this Wednesday? Yeah, I was like, what? And I saw they're like June 8th. And I'm like, June 8th?
Yeah.
Where did the time go?
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. I just thought that it was gonna premiere during the finale of Obi-Wan. And I'm like, there's gonna be three back-to-back weeks of overlap. Three. Yeah.
So I was two.
Like, jeez. I don't know if they're gonna premiere both at midnight, I guess. That's kind of crazy. You know?
Yeah, we'll see. It's so weird to me that they're launching the same day at the same time. Like, please give me Obi-Wan like on Thursday at 9 p.m. or something. Like, God, I don't want the midnight stuff anymore.
I know, it makes so much sense.
Then I just wait for the next day.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, about this, it's crazy. It's always, always interesting to hear this. So thanks for posting it. It's cool.
Yeah, it was worth talking about, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm still a big proponent of theaters. Or not big proponent.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I'm with you. Me too.
You know.
Yeah, theater experience. But
we got a big topic to talk about right now. Ryder, do moviegoer... I'm restarting that clip. So sorry.
You got it. I'm just kind of giving the hype. I'm in the coaster with you. Yeah. All right,
ready?
Yes.
Do movie-going viewers have too much power, Ryder? Tell me a little bit about this question we got going today.
Okay, so of course everyone knows about what's been going on, and that's Morbin time. Morbin time has been sweeping the internet, the memes have been flooding, and, you know, we've seen this a lot of times where fans have kind of controlled the box office, and sometimes it's for good, sometimes it's not. Our first kind of discussion is about Morbius kind of getting a new release, right? A re-release. And even Jared Leto talking about the memes itself. I mean, kind of break down what's happening.
Script meme.
What's going on? Yeah.
He did. So, I mean, as you know, Morbius bombed in theaters, right?
Yeah.
It became a hilarious joke. Mm-hmm. People then started joking about it too much to where it started trending all the time and everything.
Yeah.
And then the jokes became unfunny very fast. And, you know, they're like, oh my God, there's so much hype on Morbius right now. Let's re-release it in theaters for a weekend. Try to get some extra cash out of this, you know? And then it becomes funny again because it bombs. It only makes $85,000 across the 1,000 theaters that it released to. Only $85,000 to keep in this, like, to put this into perspective here. Everything Everywhere All at Once has been out for months now. Made $2 million last weekend. And
it's
been out for so long. And it's still a smaller film than Morbius. You know what I mean? Crazy. So Morbius only making less than $100,000.
That is 1,000 theaters. That's so bad. I think what's that, like $85 a theater? Like only a couple, like three or four people like are seeing it.
Oh, that's so crazy, sad, dude.
So another thing I brought up is we've seen this before with the Snyder Cut, of course. You know, everybody knows about how fans can come together and a fan base can build something. We've seen it how they a full franchise, a full company has invested millions of dollars to bring something that the fans want. And so I guess, you know, the question is sometimes I think fans, they become not what's the word? They're enabled to continue this trend. Because of how studios are like, it started with Snyder Cut, maybe with some more franchises, but I think it needs to be used for good. And I think sometimes, not that this is for bad Morbius, it's just funny joke, but it's also kind of like, you know, think about, you know, you have an impact, your voice has an impact when it comes to social media and what you want. And we also see that in a negative way. I also wanted to bring up, there's toxic fandoms, like Star Wars and Marvel, you know what this I mean? And I feel like these voices are sometimes too vocal because that's all we hear about, you know? You saw Ewan McGregor, he had to verbally apologize and say, make a statement about the kind of hate that Moses Ingram was getting for her character in the new Obi-Wan series. And I just think, you know, last point on this is that the positive voices should be the ones standing out. The positive feedback and the kind of input to these shows and fandoms should be the ones standing out. We shouldn't have to hear about Star Wars toxic fandoms, you know?
The issue is that the people that have their voices heard are the people that are disagreeing or are angry or are mean people or the toxicity that you see, because those are the voices that get pushed the most, you know, because that's the most attention is bringing to them. People can agree with the positive points, but the disagreements that arise with the negative comments always farm engagement, and that's how things go viral. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not, you don't see a lot of positive things going viral. Most of the things you see is like controversial or stuff like that. And that gets clicks. That gets clicks and that sells. So
absolutely.
I think that feeds specifically in fandoms, like Marvel, Star Wars, I mean, Snyder, like all this. You know what I mean? These fandoms cultivate a lot of both positivity and negativity. Mm-hmm. And they're fun to talk about. They're fun to talk about.
Yeah.
So when somebody has a negative opinion or is pushing something, people will group to that and everybody will see it. It's very interesting. I mean, we even see it with a certain character in Doctor Strange, if you haven't seen it yet. That was a very fan thing. You know what I mean?
Marvel posted that, dude, on their social media. They posted it.
Oh, they posted it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess we could say it.
You know, John Krasinski in Fantastic Four.
That's a positive one.
People have been talking
about
that for a year. Mm-hmm. Is it positive?
Well, I think it's like, hey, we're listening to the fans of fan casting. Like, if it's just a little thing, like, here's my thing, right? Initially, if it's just that in that movie and it's done, like, that's, like, great. You did it for us. That's fine. But if it, you know, it could be grow out of proportion where we're ruining movies now, most probably.
That's great. Because they want to appease the fans because the fans are going to keep them funded and keep them going. But I also don't want the fans to always make their decisions. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying they are. Like, sometimes the fans don't know what's best, such as this Ewan McGregor, or all the mean things people are saying to Moses Ingram. You know, like, how are studios and people listening gonna differentiate from what's good or bad when sometimes the bad stuff makes them money? Not to say in the hate stuff that they sent to Moses, because that's a whole different
ball game. Vibe,
it's just very interesting. Your words on social media do matter, and you have to be careful about what you say.
Yeah.
That's not to say that you can't voice your positive or negative opinions, but
put some consideration.
You got to think about it before you post, for sure, every time.
No, I'm with you. I'm good. That's it.
That's all I got, baby. Yeah. So do moviegoers have too much power? Let us know in the comments what you think about all this. If you want to listen to the full episode, full video episode, you can become a member right here on Strictly Casual or listen for free on all audio platforms. You know, Google, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. It's all up there. Love you guys, and we'll see you on the next one. Ba-bam. Okay, and we're back.
Good topic. Good conversation.
That was great.
Yeah, you got one here. Were you going to try to figure it out?
This is a little promo at the same time.
Okay, let's hear this.
The editor of Men, Alex Garland's new movie, was also searching for answers. Editor Jake Roberts tells IndieWire, in the course of 9 months of working together with writer-director Alex Garland, I never got a completely straight answer of what the movie could possibly mean. But if you want to find out what the movie means, you can go to Strictly Casual or youtube.com/strictlycasual and go to Men Ending Explained, where James and I talked about it for 40 minutes trying to figure out what the hell the ending means. And I thought it was great conversations. If you've seen the movie and you want to check it out, we totally spoil the whole thing. So probably don't watch it unless you're not planning on watching the movie. You know what I mean? But
it's safe to say they figured it out. They figured it out. Y'all figured it out.
I think we got pretty dang close. You know what I mean?
I gotta listen to the rest of that video because I wonder, Alex Garland, why did you make this?
The thing is, it's like podcast length, that episode. Yeah. It would be hilarious, but you know, just the video. So
man, in-depth review. No, in-depth analysis. It is like an in-depth review. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
No, it's good stuff.
I'm all about it.
That's interesting for sure. I want some more thought-provoking films that are coming out. I think latest one was James just saw it. Skin.
Crimes of the Future.
Crimes of the Future, yeah, that one.
Yeah. James called me and talked to me about it last night a little bit.
I feel sick thinking about the trailer.
He said it was very funny. Like, people were laughing during the movie.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's
weird. Good. I don't know. I gotta watch it. Oh, yeah, I got one more thing on here to tell you about. At Cannes Film Festival, that was like last week, basically 2 weeks ago. There's a documentary called Fire of Love.
Is
that
this from Ron
showed...
Howard? No.
This is a
different
one.
No, there's a different one about Ron Howard. Never mind.
It's about a couple that explored volcanoes for they spent their entire life and they died. It's like checking out a volcano, getting too close
and
or whatever.
And they died. Jeez.
But they have hundreds of hours of footage of like them on volcanoes, like things you've never seen before. And apparently it's like beautiful. It's about like these two people are like madly in love with each other. And then they're also like totally like breaking every scientific rule known to man getting close to these. But they're learning so much that nobody's ever known before volcanoes, and it's like supposed to be really good, like really, really good. I can't wait to watch this. It comes out in July 6th, I believe. I'm gonna try to go see this in a theater, but it'll probably go to like streaming services first. I don't think it's gonna get like a huge wide release.
That is crazy. No, yeah, I'm looking at the trailer right now. I mean, you guys check out the trailer. This looks insane. It looks like heartfelt and very fascinating.
This is good stuff. Dude. Like. It looks. I'm stoked to see this. I heard really good things coming out of Cannes, like people. So
interesting. Okay, cool.
That's it. Just thought I'd bring that up because
That's good. Let's see. Okay, moving on. We got a little bit of light news here for y'all. Just some brief stuff we'll go through. Furiosa is now in production. This is of course the Mad Max prequel.
Yeah.
Starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth. Anya Taylor-Joy playing Charlize Theron's character, of course, from the movie. It's her Furiosa as a younger self.
Do you know what's interesting to me? I think because like Mad Max Fury Road, blockbuster. That would be considered a blockbuster.
Yeah.
But I think it did so much different that it felt different than a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it had Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron in it, you know what I mean?
Like a book, like an epic or something.
And now like having Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth feels like a discount. Blockbuster.
It's like, oh, it's a blockbuster now. It's just, okay.
But because I know
it's
like...
hard to replicate that, you know?
It's George Miller, you know, the director still. So it's going to be like...
He'll probably make it wild. You know what I mean? Just crazy. Totally. Bombastic.
It's just... When I think of these people together, I think of, okay, Netflix original. Or like, that's what I think about. I think about, okay, it's a Netflix original movie.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's not, but...
No, yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy has been everywhere. She's like...
Truly,
She's becoming a superstar. And also Jenna Ortega. I've been wanting to talk about Jenna Ortega. I told James earlier on the phone call. She just recently won an MTV Movie Award last night. It was the same one Neve Campbell won for Scream. So she's kind of like, she's passing the torch down to Jenna Ortega. And...
Oh, she was in Scream
5. Yeah, she was in Scream 5. Okay. And the latest news right here is Wednesday drops a first little teaser, of course, with Jenna Ortega as Wednesday Addams. This comes from Tim Burton's new Netflix show. And so... She's hot off the MTV award, and they're like, let's drop the teaser for her. And she looks great as Wednesday. Smart. But she's doing a lot of good stuff.
That's awesome. I love that.
Always admired her.
I really love that.
Fair yeah, you could take the rest.
Moving on to Netflix from streaming. Netflix's live-action Avatar The Last Airbender will be a little bit more mature than the cartoon, says Paul Soon-Hong Lee. The aim is to incorporate the deeper themes of books 2 and 3 into season 1.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I've tapped out of this because the writers and directors of Avatar left the project due to creative differences. And so, like, to tell me that, like, they're going to take another stab at this without the writers and directors, who, by the way, were so excited to do a live action thing.
Yeah.
And now they left, meaning the ideas are different. It's you're not going to get what you want out of this. Dang. It sucks.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to... Moving on to Amazon Prime now. We got this is pretty interesting. This is about the boys. I wanted to just quote this real quick. A clinical psychologist analyzes Homelander's volatile mindset going into the new season, and they said, like Superman refueling his powers from the rays of the sun, Homelander must bathe in adulation to restore his fragile ego. And adulation means like love and power. Yeah. So yeah, he really gets into that for this one. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's such a powerful character. Like, he can literally end the world, and they kind of tap into that a little bit more, those themes about this season. But it's so funny because he's like, no, I want love. I just want people to love me. And he just, like, he can literally destroy the planet, but he chooses not to. You know what I mean?
So, I can't wait to watch this season. I don't know what to expect. It's going to be great. Some really exciting news right here, though, for me, is 5 seasons are fully planned out for Amazon's Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power series. We even know what our final shot of the last episode is going to be. This is incredible to me because this is my problem with so many shows. They write a great season and then feel like they have to follow it up with another season or something, and the story kind of meanders out of good and bad. Like, oh, this is a good direction. Fans don't like this direction. Let's go this direction. Like, this is like, they already got a beginning and end. They know the story they're going to tell, all the beats they're going to hit. That makes me very happy. Like, well-planned show. Love it. Like, Breaking Bad, super well-planned show. Like, all the greatest shows are
planned.
They have a beginning and end, and they have, it's not just like a Lost type beat where they wrote the first couple seasons and they're like, okay, let's go somewhere. Let's floating island. They're all dead. This, that. Sorry, what? Lost spoiler.
Oh, that's okay. It's been, what, 10, 20 years?
Actually, are they all dead? They're in purgatory or something? I forget.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, I lost it. When the island started moving, I was like,
I was lost. Like, I remember watching the first couple episodes with my mom. She watched the whole show, and then I came back for the last episode. I was so gone. I was like, what is going on?
Dude, it really changes. Yeah. I do love the first couple seasons of that show. Honestly, the first couple seasons of that show are genius. The way that they have reveals in that, and like, dude, it's a spectacle. So, because
you know the ABC, like when they would cut to commercial and it would hurt you physically. Because it was like, so good.
That's JJ's best work.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, dude, yeah, this is crazy. Some good stuff for Lord of the Rings. I'm excited for this as well as the House of Dragons. Like, I think they're both not pitted against each other, but it's just such good stuff coming.
There is no hype for House of Dragon right now, and it's so sad. Yeah. Nobody's talking about it.
After me and my mom finished Game of Thrones, she said, I don't know. I'm not excited for that new show. I don't want it. Nothing can compare to this. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm excited because it's like Rise of Targaryens, and you know, we've talked about
I hope it's a Better Call Saul situation where everybody was like, oh, Better Call Saul, like, are they really doing a spinoff? And then people are saying it's almost as good, if not better, than Breaking Bad. I haven't seen it yet, but that's great.
I hope they would learn from that last season. If they give me anything of that last season, I'll still be happy because, shoot, I love the whole thing, dude. Beginning to end. I think I'm the only guy that likes that new season, huh? That last season. Season 8?
It's not terrible. No. I don't love it, but I don't hate it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel you. But we also got a little first look. Empire Magazine dropping some info, Lord of the Rings. Check out some photos. Look up Rings of Power, Empire. You can see some of your photos, really. It's pretty cool. Moving on to Disney Plus, we got a couple interesting headlines here as well. Obi-Wan, the head writer, addresses the Grand Inquisitor's fate. They say, we would never break canon. So that's all I'll say. Canon is everything. As in the Rebels connection of how there's a connection there. And
I mean, the Great Inquisitor is the bad guy in Rebels, all of Rebels.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so obviously he's not dead. Yeah. Interesting choice in this to like have her kill him in the second episode.
So like,
okay. It was definitely a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was surprised. So, I was like, that's okay. Great. She's fueled. Yeah. She's ready to go.
Yeah, I like Reva. I'm a fan of Reva as a bad.
Me too. Surprising that I'm into it. I'm in her.
Yeah. Okay, and then we got Percy Jackson and the Olympians is now in production. They had a couple more cast announcements too. Like Jason something is playing Dionysus or something like that.
I was gonna add that. Sorry, I just was like,
dude,
I don't
he's
know
so funny. He's gonna be great as that god. Everybody else I'm pretty unfamiliar with, so I don't know. Could be good.
No, yeah. Then I Am Groot's coming on August 10th, pretty early. Yeah. Little, like, you know, shorts, animated shorts.
Yeah, a little short.
Groot, pretty cool. And then our last light news headline here. We got two here. Daniela Melchior has a small role in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, confirms James Gunn. Of course, she was Ratcatcher in the Suicide Squad. A lot of people love her. And she's also in Fast and Furious now.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. She's that's right. Yeah, so pretty excited about that.
Cool. Good deal, dude. Good deal. Very exciting.
That's it, yeah.
That's the news we got to today, baby.
That's it. That's it.
How long was that episode? I feel like that was a short one. Huh?
We're on 30. We're on 30 right now.
Oh, we're so fine. That's yeah, if we hit 30, that's the goal. Yeah,
yeah, that's the goal. Let's see. Any recommendations? Let's see. What have you been watching?
Let me pop open the old letterbox real quick and do a quick gander of what I've been watching.
As for me,
did I? Oh, I have watched something. You go.
Okay. Well, as for me, like, I was just thinking, like, what I've been watching, like, you know, it's been dry. It hasn't been a lot, you know? I feel like what I have to offer is just continue Barry. Get to Barry.
Yeah.
Again, I have to come up with more interesting stuff, more like out of the box stuff. But watch Barry because next week is the season finale. This episode ends like, oh man, what a shocking episode. And it's just like, it's crazy every time. It's such good writing.
Right. I got to watch that.
Yeah. I know. I've said that like 5 times already.
Probably yeah. More.
Probably more. Yeah, I got to come up with new stuff.
This week, I watched Sonic 2. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and I loved it. It was so much fun.
It's good, man.
It's just a good time, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's like, it's goofy, but it's not stupid. You know,
it's no, like yeah, it's fun, not stupid. Goofy. Yeah, like that's the problem with some of these films. Like they get like so dumb, and it's hard to watch because you're like, why are you dumbing it down for me? Like, make it a good film. And yeah, this is.
It's just, it is. It's
that
so
third
fun.
Act is fun too, right?
All of it Robot is so freaking fun. Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. And then I've just been watching Stranger Things, so that's pretty much it. I also started a third movie in the oh my god, what is it called? I gotta go to my list.
Criterion Collection? No.
No. Musashi Miyamoto. He's a samurai. He has a samurai trilogy. It's on HBO Max.
Oh.
And I watched the first two movies and I love them. And I on the third one. And they're building to this like huge duel at the end of this, like, and I can't. The movie's called like Duel at Gonro Island or something.
Dang, sounds like a Ghost of Tsushima DLC.
dude, yeah. It's totally Ghost of Tsushima.
That's so cool.
It's sick. It's sick. So I hopefully I can finish that this week because I like the first one. Second one's even better, and so the third one I'm hoping is just even better.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Been loving
nice
that
stuff. Dang, that sounds great. Exciting stuff. There's a lot of content coming, guys. Lots of new stuff. We got Summer Games Fest. We're really looking forward to that. There's so much new announcements that come and kind of excite us for the new gaming season. Call of Duty? I don't know. It could be me back. I don't know. Maybe.
It could. You see that trailer?
The real life action.
Chapman, Pill, or Pete Davidson, Stevie Aoki, they're all in it.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one. No. Yeah, I saw the thumbnail of it. I'll check that one out soon, but... Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. Thank you for watching. Thanks for listening at home. We appreciate you guys. Stay tuned. We'll hopefully be talking on Discord and all the social media. Check us out at Bubba Shinga, Mr. Hollywood. We're on Twitter. You can find us there with all our socials. And we've got more content coming your way. And we'll see y'all next week for another episode 67.
Almost 67, baby.
67, baby. Yeah.
Let's go.
Bye, everybody.
All right, y'all. Peace out.